Sports Beat Extra with Odrin Johnson on Beat.
Would you like to be joined by Off the Ball's rugby correspondent Susanna Mullen ahead of the historic Six Nations clash for Ireland this Sunday against Scotland at the Aviva Stadium? Susanna, I think we were talking about this actually. The last time we spoke was when Ireland were in, obviously, the Women's World Cup last year, and it had just been announced that this was going to be the first ever standalone fixture for a women's game in the Aviva. Now there's over 30,000 tickets sold. Like, the occasion has come around a lot quicker than I think we maybe anticipated back then, but it seems to be all sort of heating up to this Sunday now, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was so exciting when they announced it, but it was in the middle of a World Cup, and it felt like, yes, we took the time to acknowledge how big it was, but we also had so much going on around the record-breaking World Cup, and we were over in the UK, and you couldn't really, it really didn't sink in how big it was going to be. But now, obviously, the Six Nations campaign, it being the last fixture, obviously there's not a trophy to play for, well, not a Six Nations championship trophy to play for, but there is just so much excitement leading into this game, and the IRFU have done a great job of kind of promoting it and getting it out across this whole Six Nations Championship. And it really feels like this is what we've been waiting for. And on a personal level, I'm just so excited to get to the Aviva on Sunday and kind of witness the game. And as you said, like, off the back of a World Cup, I think there were question marks around, would women's rugby be able to sustain the level of interest that it had during that World Cup, especially outside of the UK? But the numbers, even so far this championship, have shown that they are. I think I read in, I think it was RTE reporting, that after round three, the attendance figures hit 194,500, or just under, which surpassed the previous record of 188,000, which was after five full rounds. So this is just after three rounds, and they've already seen a 136% increase compared to the same stage last year. And obviously within that, we had a record breaker at Twickenham for the first round. We had Ireland setting a record in the Dexcom. We had Scotland setting a record in Murrayfield. So it's all been leading up to this, and now we're about to set another record in the Aviva Stadium. So it's a great kind of signal of where women's rugby is at.
I suppose probably just even in context as well, like, to look at that, like, that record-breaking home attendance down at Dexcom was just under 10,000, and now we're looking at over three times that. Like, it really just shows the level of popularity, particularly, I suppose, you could see it brewing in the World Cup last year, but it's really sort of just taken off from then, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting listening to the players talk about the fans coming to the Aviva this Sunday. They're very different to the fans that you would have at a normal, or not a normal, sorry, at a male rugby game, at maybe something that we would expect from a rugby fan. They talk about that they've really created their own unique type of rugby fan who comes to watch the women's game and who comes to see the superstars in the likes of Aoife Wafer, or even TikTok stars in the likes of Anna McGann or Eve Higgins. And there's very much a different feel at these games. And even though 30,000 in the Aviva might not seem on paper like a lot, the fans are passionate. And I have no doubt that they will make up for the fact that maybe the top level of the Aviva might be empty in the noise that they bring to the stadium on Sunday.
It's something I think that even the Ireland team have probably gotten a little bit of preparation for. I know you mentioned that first game in Twickenham, that was like 77,000. I remember being over at that, and it just been like, that was obviously, as you mentioned, a record-breaking attendance for a women's Six Nations match. But like, to see that from, I suppose, the world champions, to get that many numbers in, and there was a lot of conversation around, I suppose, that first half in particular, of whether Ireland were a little bit shook by that sort of gravitas. Like, they've kind of prepared for that now, I suppose, in the sense that when they come out to this 30,000 crowd, it'll probably still be a little bit daunting and kind of nerve-wracking for them, but they'll at least know what to expect a little bit more, won't they?
I hope so. It's interesting. They said that before the Twickenham game, that, you know, they've gotten used to these crowds. They went to Twickenham in 2023 and had a big crowd. And then they also, obviously, during the World Cup, they had 30,000 in, I think it was Brighton, when they played New Zealand. So they're slowly getting more and more used to it. But I agree, I think they were shook in Twickenham. You could see, I think, the very first kickoff from England, Eve Higgins knocked the ball on, and, or it was Brittany Hogan who knocked the ball on. I can't remember, but I just remember seeing Brittany signal that she couldn't hear the call. I think there was a mix-up between the two of them. So there is that nature of not being used to how loud a stadium is with that many people in it. But as you said, they've had that now. They've had the experience in Clermont away in France, where I wasn't actually at the game, but I've heard that the crowd were just absolutely raucous, for lack of a better word. They really made themselves heard, and going away to France is never an easy place, but that would have been a test in itself, even without the numbers, in terms of the noise of the crowd and the atmosphere there. So coming into this game, hopefully they will be prepared in terms of that sense, but I do think there's still going to be pressure on this team, not just because they really want, they've said from the outset of this campaign that three home wins is the aim. And Ireland haven't actually won three games in a Six Nations Championship since 2020, despite finishing third the past 2 years. So there is pressure to perform in the sense that, okay, the France and England games were close, but they were tough. And those two are in the top four of the world for a reason. But delivering on their stated aim of wanting to win three home games when we know that they can, I think the pressure will be there on that. And also the fact that they're representing, you know, generations of Ireland women's rugby players in the years gone by. There's going to be a special ceremony at the Aviva after the game where they hand out everybody's caps and they number the Irish players from one to whatever they're at now. And none of them know their numbers yet, but when they go into the Aviva after the game, they will hear. And Lynn Campbell's, I've heard, been doing a whole lot of research going out back into the archives of when women's rugby wasn't even re really reported on, and finding out who played for Ireland and when, and numbering them all. So the pressure of representing that in the first standalone women's game at the Aviva will be there, but I think Ireland are definitely favourites and by far good enough to beat this Scottish side if they can put that all to the side.
Yeah, I think on top of what you were saying about them obviously aiming for those three home wins, I think probably from a progress perspective, beating Italy, Wales and Scotland is what they would want, the bare minimum really, isn't it, going into this tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. It's what they've said, and it's what they deserve in terms of the quality of the players on the pitch. They are a better team than Italy, Wales, or Scotland. And I think they know that, but there is a sense of they need to continue that into this final game. I think it was the same last year, and yet we saw them lose to Scotland in the final round. I think it was the final round of the championship. In a game that they again should have won, and it was really tight, but it was a sense of just a lack of concentration or a lack of ability to finish out the campaign in the way they wanted to. So, as I said, the pressure is on this weekend, but they are clear favourites going into this game. I think they've won 8 out of their last 9 home matches against Scotland, and they've won the last three, I believe, as well. So on paper, they're definitely the stronger side.
I'd be interested to know, how do you sort of, I suppose, assess this campaign so far? Because I've kind of noticed that there's been two sort of viewpoints, particularly I think you can kind of trace it back to that game against England, where on one hand, people were obviously talking about the very poor first half performance. And I think even if it was any other case or any other team, you'd probably be saying, should be more questions asked here. But then the Irish camp perspective on it seems to be very much closing that gap on the English team year in, year out, and getting closer in that margin while still not winning. And that France game, then you had a really good first half performance, and you just probably the game they would have been targeting the most. I think even when we were talking last year for the World Cup, France was the big one, kind of closing that gap, and the gap was getting closer and closer, and it was just only a matter of time before Ireland kind of maybe came out on the right side of a result there. Like, how would you sort of look at that? Would you see it as a case of it's good that they're closing that gap, or maybe probably needs to be a bit more scrutiny on those performances?
Yeah, of course, it's good that they're closing the gap, and they definitely are. I think we saw it in the second half performance in Twickenham, what they can do. We saw it in the first half against France. But personally, I was disappointed with the game against France. I think England are in a league of their own, and you see it all the time against whoever they play. They're World Cup champions for a reason. So it was always going to be really tough. And I think actually the second half in Twickenham was very impressive from an Ireland point of view, because England could have put the hammer down and run away with it like they have against almost every other team in this championship, but Ireland didn't let them. But I think the France game, what was really disappointing is that they once again, like the quarterfinal in the World Cup, they had it in their hands in that first half. Obviously they weren't leading like they were in the World Cup, but they had countless opportunities to put themselves away and to build a bit of a comfortable distance between themselves and France going into halftime, because we had seen in the previous rounds of this championship, France had a strong second half, whether it's their bench, whether it's what the coaches say at halftime, what the captain says, who knows, but they come out fighting in the second half, and Ireland needed to capitalize on the opportunities that they had in the first 40, and they didn't. And then in the second half, I think the pressure just built on them. They had a few errors, knock-ons, kicks that missed touch, missed tackles, various things, and they let that dent their confidence. And as I said, it was a really hard place to go, and the crowd were very difficult to deal with, and there was always going to be that pressure. But after putting up with it for 40, 50 minutes and dealing with it so well, but just not quite getting over the line, they then let it slip, and then they then let the pressure get to them. And I think that was disappointing. But I don't think they're shying away from that themselves. I think maybe in the media, there's a tendency to say, oh, look, they're closing the gap on the top four. It's all good. But inside the camp, they know what they want. And they were really, really disappointed after that France game. And they knew themselves that Scott Beamond always refers to it as coulda, shoulda, woulda, that they could have won that game and they should have won that game, but they let it slip. And they hold themselves to high standards within that camp. And I think next year, or even in the internationals at the end of this year, they're only going to get stronger and stronger. And I know we keep saying that, and it's almost frustrating to hear they're going to get stronger, but they are. When you think of where this team has come from, I mean, in 2023, when Scott Beamon joined Ireland as head coach, Ireland were still in WXV3, taking on the likes of Kazakhstan, Colombia, Spain in a tournament in Dubai that nobody even knew about. And now we're talking about them as being just on the cusp of the top four in the world. And we just need to step back a little bit, I think, at times and recognize how far this team has come in actually a really short space of time, and how far they will go in the next kind of 2-3 years before the next World Cup cycle. So I have full faith that there's more to come from this team, but I know that they'll be disappointed from some of the performances in this Six Nations campaign.
I suppose probably from a personnel perspective, when you look at the team getting better and better, I know we've had some really cool international debuts this tournament. Obviously, Niamh Gallagher came on in Belfast, but I suppose from a Southeast perspective for us, we're looking at Robin O'Connor coming on in that try-scoring debut against Galway and having started every game since, and thinking, geez, we've another gem here, and what is going on in Wexford, particularly with Aoife Wafer as well.
What is going on in Wexford? What are you all drinking down there? But no, Robin O'Connor, well, Aoife Wafer firstly is absolutely world-class. She is one of the best players in the world, hands down. It's incredible. Week in, week out, she proves it. She had a slow start against England and everyone was kind of worried, you know, was going over to Harlequins, maybe the wrong move. What's happening? Is it difficult coming back into an Ireland camp? Is it difficult to kind of find that familiar footing again? But she knocked it out of the park then in the next three games and has completely eliminated any of those doubts, especially against Wales. She was absolutely phenomenal, as she always is. And she's such a star for Ireland. But Robin O'Connor as well wasn't really on my radar before this Six Nations. Had played a little bit of sevens, so I'd seen her she'd played a lot of sevens, but I had only seen a little bit of her on the sevens circuit and had been impressed there, but had never kind of seen her in a 15 setup. Obviously, she was playing in the Celtic Challenge this year, but she's been incredible, and what a find for Ireland on that left wing. She's not only lightning quick, but she's very, very strong. I think she doesn't look, when you look at the likes of Baveen Parsons, and you just see strong in her from that straight away when you take a look at her, and you know she's going to be a huge ball carrier. Robin O'Connor is slightly smaller, slightly less obviously physical, but she is hugely physical. And we see it, she's able to make a break around a player on the outside of the wing. And we saw that multiple times against Italy. And she got down for a score, obviously, on her debut. But then against Wales as well, she has the rugby IQ to know when it's not on and when she's not going to beat the player. And then she has the strength to step inside and still make 4, 5, 6 meters, get over the gain line every time. And that's hugely important as well, because sometimes when you're isolated as a winger, you need to know when to come back towards your team so that the ball isn't turned over by the defending tackler or the players coming in. And she does that really well. And then defensively as well, nobody gets by her, really. She's huge at making cover tackles because she's quick enough to get there. But she also sits people down when they're running at her. She really gets low, hits them hard, and drives them backwards. So I've been really impressed by her, and it's exciting to see kind of what else she can do in a green jersey.
Obviously, you mentioned Aoife Wafer there, and I know you mentioned that obviously she gets a lot of plaudits from the press and the fans, which justifiably so. I mean, that player, the match performance against Belfast is one to really point out. Like, I mean, that pass to Parsons for that try is unbelievable. But I suppose moving past that, has there been another player, I suppose, particularly through this tournament, that maybe hasn't got the plaudits that you think they should have, that has played particularly well coming up to this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's ironic that the Irish back row is so strong, but because Aoife Waif is in it, you almost don't get a look in at the other two players. But Erin King, new captain, obviously this year, has been incredible. But then also my player would be Brittany Hogan. She is up there with Aoife Wafer. She just doesn't do all of the flashy stuff that Wafer does so well. And maybe she doesn't get over the try line quite as often. But she's incredible. They always talk about... I spoke to her at the start of the campaign before they even played. And I asked her, is it difficult sometimes that Wafer gets all this attention? And she said, absolutely not. You know, she's very modest. She said, I'll latch onto Wafer whenever I need to, and I'm happy to put in the hard yards. But she spoke really interestingly about them having completely different roles, and they know that. So she is very much, she'll latch on, she'll kind of do the dirty work in the tackles, she'll carry hard, but Wafer is known for her carrying and known for her turnover skills, whereas Brittany Hogan maybe does the slightly less obvious stuff in making her tackles. But she also, I think they were tied on 20 carries each in that Wales game, which was second most in the championship, just behind Ellie Kildon in the first round against Ireland. But it shows that they're equally doing a lot of work. It's just different. And sometimes for maybe someone who's not used to watching the game week in, week out, it's harder to see what Brittany Hogan offers. But she is quietly bringing so much to the side, and she's equally as excellent, I think.
And I suppose I want to talk about where we go after this tournament. I suppose, firstly, you know, we mentioned that record-breaking attendance crowd in Galway and the one that's obviously going to be this Sunday. There was, I suppose, a notable dip in the game in Belfast around 4,500. I suppose, what needs to be done there to kind of promote the game a bit more? Because in terms of stadium size, you know, the Avidea isn't too dissimilar from Dexcom, but obviously didn't get the same numbers on the day.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm not really sure what would be the reason for not as many people attending up in Belfast as opposed to over in Galway. But I do think had Ireland beaten France away the week before, it really would have pushed those numbers going into Belfast, because that would have been a huge kind of marker win that would have put this Irish team on the map that they maybe haven't had since they beat New Zealand back in, when was that, 2023 in WXU1 or 2024. So they needed that, I think, to push the numbers. But then on the flip side, Scotland in the Aviva was always going to be the big event. And having that a week later, I think from a marketing point of view, the IRFU were pushing that game so hard in order to sell tickets for the Aviva that maybe Avidea and the fixture in Belfast just lost traction a little bit, got swept under the rug a little bit. Whereas obviously in the Dexcom, it was the first home game of the campaign. It was the first chance to see Ireland in action at home since last year. So that was a big deal. So I think just falling between the two, maybe it just got lost a little bit and lost a little bit of traction. But it is interesting. I'm not going to go out and say that there's less women's rugby fans up in Belfast. Absolutely, I don't think that's the case. But I just think, yeah, maybe it just got lost a little bit in the middle of two big fixtures.
Again, mentioning that over 30,000 tickets sold for this game at the weekend, one of arguably the biggest games in women's Irish rugby and in Irish rugby in general. Ireland vs Scotland, it kicks off at 2:30 this weekend on Sunday at the Aviva Stadium. Susanna Mullen, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me.